turn to the book of 1 John. It's kind of a fitting song, the Blessed Assurance song. The book of 1 John is a book of assurances. In fact, that's what I've been calling this entire series out of the book of 1 John, is assurance in an age of doubt. There's so many doubts in our world. And unfortunately, Christians have a lot of doubts as well, sometimes, from time to time. And John wrote this book to Christians, and key word in this book is the word know, K-N-O-W, that you may know certain things. And today is no exception that we will be encountering that word. I've called this, the last 2 weeks plus today, I've called these the three great assurances found in 1 John chapter 5. The first was our assurance of conquering the world, that the world does not have to win. We overcome the world through our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, through Him alone. The world is conquered. Second was our assurance of our salvation. We don't have to have doubts. We can know. In fact, he says, I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. And so we talked about that last week. And this week, the assurance of effective prayer. You know, it's good to overcome the world. And it's good to know that you are saved. Good to know that you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But wouldn't you like to know that your prayers would be effective? And, you know, don't raise your hand, but who is there that doesn't want more effective prayer? I mean, I think a lot of times we're frustrated a little bit with our prayer life. We can pray and pray and pray, and sometimes we have better results than others. Or sometimes it seems like someone else gets answers and we don't, and we wonder why, that kind of thing. And so John gives us some important principles in these four verses we're going to look at today. And we place a lot of importance on prayer, and rightfully so. But sometimes I think we kind of take prayer for granted. Sometimes we don't work real hard at our prayer. And there are some reasons why we can have ineffective prayer as well. And sometimes it's our fault. And sometimes God it seems ineffective. And sometimes God just saying, no, you got to wait. And so we're going to address all those things this morning. And so let's look at the scripture, verses 14 through 17 in 1 John chapter 5. Now, this is the confidence we have before Him. Whenever we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked Him for. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin and does not bring death, he should ask, and God will give life to him. To those who commit sin that doesn't bring death. There is sin that brings death, and I am not saying that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin that does not bring death. So we're going to discuss all this. Some people, they don't understand what this is talking about. So hopefully you'll be encouraged. And this is to be an encouraging message about prayer and just how to look at things sometimes. We get kind of caught up in results, and we kind of forget what God is trying to do within us as well in our prayer life. And so we're going to look at verse 14 here, and it's our discernment. Now, this is the confidence we have before Him. Whenever we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, see, the key phrase there is, when you ask according to His will. And so we must learn to discern God's will regarding a situation or a need. And you know, sometimes His will is not our will. We know what we want. That's what we're praying for. But are you praying for what God wants to do? You see, that's the need right there in our prayer life. We got to have discernment. And how? So how do you have discernment? I mean, it's easy to say that, but How do you have discernment? Well, let's just start with the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about what you're praying for? And so many times people pray kind of in the face of the Bible. It's like Scripture says one thing and you're praying for something else. Well, do you really think God's going to hear that? If you're praying out of God's will. And so many people say, well, I don't know the will of God. Well, you know, the Bible is full of God's will. Now, does it address every specific situation in your life? Not specifically, but there are general principles there to be found and to follow. And we need to understand that. The Bible contains much. And I wonder how many of us have situations going in our life and we're praying for them and we're praying for them. And yet there's 15 things that we know the Bible says you shouldn't be doing or you should be doing. And you're not doing them or you are doing the things you shouldn't do. And yet you're wanting this great answer of prayer. Now, you really think that's going to happen? You know, it's kind of like when we raise our children and we have a child that wants something, and maybe he wants a radio-controlled car, and yet he's a disobedient child. He doesn't take the trash out when you ask him. He doesn't put the dishes away when you ask him. Or if he does do it, he does it with a bad attitude. Are you really moved to buy this child a gift? I think not. Do you want to? Possibly. But when they're being disobedient, it makes it kind of hard, doesn't it? You think it's any different with the Lord? We're sitting here being disobedient and some things. Is there someone there that you know you should forgive and you refuse to forgive them? And yet now you turn over here and pray for something? And you think God's going to do it when you're bitter? I mean, and there's a million things. Our attitude. What's our attitude? We must discern God's will. And part of His will is the simple things that are written in black and white in His Word, and we know them. You know, God's will isn't always this thing that we got to kind of come to know. Much of His will is there. You know, He says, pray. He says, love one another. And there's these people that you will not love. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be your best friends, but you ought to care about them. And yet we got certain people, I'm not dealing with them because they don't think like I do. Well, that doesn't mean, like I say, you got to be their best friend, but man, you ought to care about what they're going through. You ought to care about, where they're headed, even if they're making bad decisions. You ought to care. Don't write them off. That's a person that's created in God's image. That's a person that Jesus Christ came and died for. Do you care about that? If you don't, then we turn over here, oh God, help me with this. And He's like, you're not doing this. The Bible. Prayer. Another way to know God's will. You know what prayer can do? Prayer can expose your motive. Do you pray selfishly? I know I have. I want it my way. I'm not any different than anyone else. But our selfishness can get involved in our prayers. Oh, I'm praying for this. Is it a selfish prayer? Or is it a prayer that is for the betterment of the kingdom? Or somebody's going to actually benefit? A lot of times we pray selfish prayers. And when we have a selfish attitude, we're not supposed to be selfish. The Bible says love, right? And this love, and I've said this before, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is selfishness. For God so loved the world, He gave. His love caused Him to give. And when we're just being selfish, I'm sorry, folks, that's not love. That's just looking out for me, wanting it my way. And so when we pray, we got to stop sometimes and think, okay, is this a selfish prayer? Now, You know, if you got a health issue, there's nothing wrong with praying for health. Praying that God would take the back pain away, or, you know, whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. But is your motive totally, purely selfish? Or do you want better health so you can serve God in a greater way? You know, is there a bigger picture? So you can help somebody. I mean, what's your motive? Because, see, our hearts are desperately wicked. And it fools even ourselves. We think we're being so good and being so righteous, and our heart will deceive us into believing that, when in reality, it's just all about me. It's just about what I want. So we got to be careful. You know, a third way to have discernment in God's regarding God's will is the Holy Spirit. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you're trusting in Him for your salvation, then you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is what? Our guide, right? And in fact, the Bible says even when you don't know what to pray, the Spirit will pray for you. Because you know what? I've been in positions sometime where I don't even know what to pray. I don't even know what God wants. I don't even know where this is going. And you just have to let Him have it. Once we ask according to His will, according to His will, then He hears us. And that word "hear" is not just mean like somebody drops a book and you heard it hit the floor. The real definition of that word is to hear effectually so as to perform or grant what is spoken. Okay? To listen with the ear, like when I hear this, I'm going to do it. Wouldn't you love God to listen to you that way? Like, man, when Mike prays, I'm just ready to do something in his life. Or in the life of someone that he's dealing with. Wouldn't you like that? To have that kind of relationship with God where he's listening because he knows your motive is true. He knows you're trying to do what's right. And man, he wants to bless. As opposed to hearing when you're not intending to do anything. You ever do that? You know, you could be sitting there reading a paper, you know, or reading your computer, you know, whatever. You know, people don't read papers anymore, but I do because I'm old school, but whatever. But you sit there and you read the paper, and your child comes up to you and says, nah, 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 and you hear them, but you're not intending to do anything but finish the sports page. Okay? Now, wait a minute, I can't talk to you. I gotta see where the Yankees are at. Well, they're terrible, so who cares? But we do hear and not have any intention whatsoever of acting on what we're going to hear or what might be said or what might be asked. But this word "hear" in this passage, the word "hear," it's talking about listening because he wants to move in your life. He wants to bring glory to himself through something he's going to do in your life. You know, whatever you eat, drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, when we pray, are we praying so that God gets the glory, or is it kind of a little bit about us getting something? So, our discernment. We need to have discernment, folks. Because if you're praying out of God's will, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Oh, there's the definition. I should have clicked. To hear effectually so as to perform or grant what is spoken. Next verse, we see God's display. This is the confidence we have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked him for. We know. We know he's going to answer. He will display his power. He will display his power when we ask according to his will. Look at James. You do not because you don't ask. I like the King James better. You do not because you ask not. Or you have not. You have not because you ask not. You know, it was like the other day at the Thursday when we had all the fire. We had the clothes and the food here and all the stuff we had here. And there was some ladies here that were wanting to make signs for the clothing tables. They were separating them into girls and boys and men and women. And they wanted to put signs on there. So they said, do you have paper and do you have a Sharpie or something? And so I pulled out a Sharpie. I have several in my desk drawer. And I gave them some copy paper, you know, and then they walked away, and then they came back, and they go, do you have, like, the big Sharpie? And I go, I do have the big Sharpie. So I took the little Sharpie away, and I got them the big one where they can make bigger letters. And they said, well, I'm glad I asked. And I said, yeah, because you'll have not if you don't ask, you know. I already knew I was going to be preaching this, and, you know, so I was ready with that, you know. But it's true. You know, they wouldn't have had it if they didn't ask for it. They wouldn't have had it. And so many times, we don't have because we don't ask. We just assume God's already whatever, you know? Don't do that. Ask him. Ask him. And he says, you don't have because you don't ask. And then you may be saying, well, I do ask. And he says, but you ask and don't receive because you ask with the wrong motive. See, it still goes back to motive, don't it? Yeah. Why are you asking? Why are you asking? And he says it so that you may spend it on your evil desires. Now, that word evil, that's a strong word. That's a strong word. You mean if I desire something that God doesn't want me to have, that's evil? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I mean, it's just like, we don't like to say this, but do you understand that when you sin, that is rebellion against God? So we don't like to use those words. Well, I just told a little white lie. Do you understand that lying is rebellion against God? Do you understand that? We gloss things over. And we have our, you know, we have our, all of us, every one of us has this little list. We got the little sins and the big sins, you know. Well, this is just a little sin. And, you know, but these are, you know, over here, this murder and pillaging and, you know, that, you know, those are the big sins. Do you understand that the little sin is just as much rebellion against God as the big sin? Do you understand that the little sin sends you to hell just as fast as the big sin? Unless you're Catholic. Do you understand that all sin, and we'll get to that. That's what that last verse we're going to have today is talking about. And so, all that to say, man, we got to have the right motives, folks. God knows your heart. What you may be praying for may sound all well and good to the other 50 people that hear the prayer, but if God knows your heart and your motive is not the right motive, it's not happening, folks. You have not because you ask not. And then when you ask with the wrong motive. And we wonder why we struggle in our prayer lives. And we wonder why, you know, things don't happen. But other people, it seems like, wow, it happens. What's the motive? What's the reason? What are you wanting out of this? And in fact, that brings us to the... Well, Yeah, the next one, which is our direction. See, it was our discernment. It's got to be our discernment. It's God's display, God's power. Now, it's our direction. What's your direction? He says, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin that does not bring death, and we're going to get into all this, he should ask, and God will give life to him, to those who commit sin that doesn't bring death. There is sin that brings death, and I'm not saying he should pray about that. What direction are you praying? He's saying anyone seeing his brother, seeing someone else. Are all your prayers about you? You know, I hope not. But what's the percentage? Is it like 90% you, 10% something else? I mean, God is others oriented. If he hadn't been, we'd all be in trouble, folks. He's not self-oriented. If he'd have been self-oriented, he wouldn't have died for us on the cross. If it was all about him, he wouldn't have done what he did. He's about others. And that's the hard thing. You know, anybody that's seen a small child knows we're selfish. A toy they haven't used in 6 months. Bring another kid in. Pick up that toy. Mine. And they didn't even care about it yesterday. They didn't even know they had it yesterday. Until some other kid comes. Mine. And you know what? We're the same way as adults. We don't get any. It's just bigger toys. Just bigger stuff. Bigger things. But we're still selfish. We have a selfish nature. We do. Now, can we rise above that? Absolutely. That's the power we have within us. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you have the power to not be selfish. But how's your prayer life? You know, is it others-oriented? Is it kingdom-oriented? Are you praying that the kingdom would benefit? Or is it about your benefit? And he says, if you see your brother committing a sin, pray for him. Pray for him. And the God may give life to him. God will give life to him. You know, only God can give life. You understand that, right? Mankind has been trying to invent life. You know, in a test tube, in a lab. They Frankenstein, right? Throw enough electricity on him. Poof, he starts, you know. Doesn't happen, folks. Only God creates life. So you got to pray to the one that has life for life. The one that can give life. And we see two types of sin here. The sin that brings death, and there's also, it says, a sin that doesn't bring death. Now, don't try to read so much into this. It's talking about death, dying, physical death. That's what the word means. Sin that brings physical death. Okay, so describe. Well, think about Moses. What did Moses do? Got out in the wilderness. And previously, sometime before, they were murmuring about water and all that. And God told him, strike the rock. Remember that? And so he strikes the rock, and all this water comes out. All this water comes out. And I mean, you're talking a couple million people and cattle and all that. There's water. I mean, huge amount of water had to have come out. So now it's some time later, and there's no water, and the people are murmuring again. And God says, speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. Because, see, the rock was Christ. And Christ was only going to be struck once. His sacrifice, one-time sacrifice, right? This is a picture. So now we come to the rock, and he says, speak to the rock. But what happened? The people were getting on Moses' case as they did over and over again, if you read Exodus. Over and over again, they were unhappy with him. Over and over again, they were complaining and murmuring. Well, take us back to Egypt. At least we have water there. And he got angry. And he struck the rock. And guess what? The water came out. But you know what? It cost him his life. What did God tell him? You're not going to go to the promised land. You're going to die in the wilderness. Now, he lived 40-something years later, whatever it was. But he never went to the promised land. That was a sin unto death. Now, think about that. He didn't murder anybody. He struck the rock instead of spoke to the rock. And God said, you're going to die in the wilderness. That's a sin unto death. That's a sin unto death. How about New Testament? Ananias and Sapphira. You know that story. Short version. People were selling property and giving the money to the church. Ananias and Sapphira had some property. They sold it and they wanted to look good because these people that sold, they gave it all to the church. And they sold, let's say they sold the property for $1,000. They said they sold it for $500 and we gave it all to the church. That's what they said. And when in reality, they sold it for $1,000, but they wanted to look good. In front, they wanted to look like everyone else that gave. And Peter said, why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? Dead. They drug him out. Here comes his wife, and Peter goes through the same thing. Bam. Dead. That was a sin unto death. What'd they do? They lied. And the land was theirs. They could have sold it for whatever they wanted. The money was theirs. They could have given whatever they wanted. But they wanted to look good. It was selfish. And it was a sin unto death. You know, and he says here, he says, there is sin unto death. And I'm not saying you should pray about that. You know, Moses could pray all he wanted. He was going to die in the wilderness. You can pray about it all you want. He's going to die in the wilderness. Ananias and Sapphira, I don't even know if they had a chance to pray. It was just like, bam. But someone else could have been praying for them. It didn't matter. God was going to do what he's going to do. It was a sin unto death. And he says, I'm not saying you should pray about that. But then there's sin that's not unto death. Sin that's not unto death. Aren't you glad that every sin doesn't bring death? There's lots of sin that's not unto death, right? Because you and I have committed them, and yet here we are. Right? Think about it. We wouldn't have very many people in church, would we? If as soon as you died, bam, you know? I mean, as soon as you died. As soon as you sinned, bam, you're dead. Okay? Aren't you glad every sin is not unto death? But what's interesting is, think about David. Look at what he did, and yet God spared him. In fact, God took the life of his child and spared David's life. And he committed murder and adultery and then lied about it. And all Moses did was strike a rock. Or all Ananias did was just lie about how much money he gave. And yet they paid price. And David was allowed to live. Now, was there a price for David to pay? Yes, there was. He paid in his family. He paid a dear price with his family. But the point is, he wasn't killed for it. And say, well, how do you explain that? Well, I don't. Because God is the judge. God is the judge. He determines. And he does not owe us an explanation. But the point is, there are sins that bring death and there are sins that don't. And so when we see somebody committing a sin, we need to pray for them. We need to engage that. Don't just ignore it. We need to help one. And that doesn't mean you judge them. That doesn't mean, you know, you call them on the carpet. It means you pray for them. And if you have a relationship with that person, maybe God wants you to kind of talk to them a little bit. You know? Because we're to build one another up and edify. And let's face it, we all have blind spots. We all have things that we don't see clearly on. And we're all growing, hopefully. Hopefully we're becoming more like Christ as we live this life. But what's your direction in your prayers? Are your prayers kingdom, in the direction of the kingdom, or are they in the direction right here? Right here. Now, sometimes those prayers can be one and the same. You know, a prayer to help me may help the kingdom. But what's the motive? Is it selfish or is it kingdom-oriented? It still goes back to motive. Hope that makes sense. Whose kingdom are you most concerned with? Yours or God's? It's really what it comes down to, folks. Whose kingdom are you most concerned with? Yours or God's? Question we all have to answer. Over and over again. Because we may have it together one week and not have it so much together the next. Or we may have it together on this issue, but not so much on this one. Yeah, I got this, you know. Hey, you know, I don't have a problem over here. But what about over here? You giving that to God? Something to think about. Verse 17, we see God's declaration. Just in case we're not clear. It's like, John's like saying, just in case you don't get it. He makes a statement. All unrighteousness is sin. Now, I don't know what part of all we don't seem to understand sometimes, but all unrighteousness is sin. And we, like I say, we separate our big sins from our little sins, but the Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. And there is sin that does not bring death. It's just a statement. It's a declaration. Do you understand that all sin separates us from God? All sin hinders your prayers. If you've got sin in your life, your prayers are hindered. You're not clean before God. Not perfect. You're not talking about being perfect. We're talking about being clean. Clean before God. And if you're not, your prayers are hindered. In Peter, it talks about husbands and wives. And if a husband's got something against his wife, Peter says, take care of that so that your prayers are not hindered. You see, our horizontal relationships affect our vertical relationship. And if you don't have it right with people, you're not going to have it right with God, folks. And a lot of our sin is stuff in our relationships with people. You know, unforgiveness and attitudes towards people. And, you know, we got to be careful. All unrighteousness is sin. All of it. And your prayers will be hindered. But praise God, there is sin that does not bring death. Doesn't mean we're going to die. Just because you did not die doesn't mean you don't have sin. That's the way I interpret that. You know, people have said this stuff, you know, oh, may God strike me down if I'm not telling the truth. Why you got to say that? You know, I'll swear it on a stack of Bibles, right? Why do you got to say that? Trying to make your point. You know what the Bible says? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. You don't have to swear. You don't have to promise and make some big production. Just be a man or a woman of your word. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. God makes it really easy for us. We complicate it with all of our little, you know, all of our little things. You know, you ever have that guy at work? We had this guy. I don't think he's there anymore, but I don't know. But anyway, every time we'd have a meeting, and they'd say, "This is how we do it." And it's pretty clear, pretty simple, pretty straightforward. You know, we didn't used to do it this way, but now we're going to do this. You know, and the powers that be made that decision, and they say, "You're going to do this." And then you have that one guy. Ooh. But what if this, you know, well, what if this happens? And you're like, and everybody else in the room is sitting there going, "That never happens." And so what should be a 2-minute meeting turns into a 30-minute, like, "I wish I wasn't here." And let your yes be yes and your no be no. Just do what you're told. You know, when God says it, don't sit there and try to come up with the reasons why you can't do what he said. And we're good at that, folks. Well, you know, that's good for John, but, you know, I got a little different situation going on in my life, so I should be exempt. No. You need to do what the Lord said. And if that exception comes up, you deal with it. You know, if that situation turns and you're like, "Wow, this is going to be really hard," now maybe you ought to pray and get discernment and ask him, you know, "What's your will, God, in this? This is really hard." And you know, sometimes the answer is, "Yeah, it's really hard." And you're finding out right now what you're made of. Because it's easy to obey God when things are going, when the things that are moving the way you're moving. But when it goes against you, and it's going to cost you something, that's when it gets down to who's your master. And it gets down to whose will is going to be done here. Isn't it interesting that Jesus prayed when he did the model prayer? And he said, "Thy will be done." Pray for this. He's telling his disciples, pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know why we have to pray that? Because we got a will. And we want to do it our way. And we don't, and if, as long as his way goes along with my way, I'm good with it. But boy, when his way's making me pay a little bit or go through something I don't want to go through, well, now I try to find reasons why I don't want to do it. And we have this very long meeting with God trying to show him why I can't do it his way, when the meeting should actually be very short. "This is what you need to do, Mike. Do it." Okay. Your will. What did Jesus say? "Not my will, your will." Now, if that's our example, are we following that example? And I think if we did, our prayer life would be much more effective. God is reminding us of his holiness. His holiness and the gravity of our sin. Do you understand that any little sin, what that looks like to God? He is holy. He is without sin. And do you understand that, you know, what was Adam and Eve's sin? I mean, They had one rule, and they couldn't follow it. One stinking rule. You know how many rules we have in our society? Adam and Eve had one rule. One. Here's a tree. Don't eat anything off this tree. That doesn't seem too tough. I don't know about you. I think I could obey that. You couldn't. And so they ate. They disobeyed God, and it cost him his son. That's how holy God is. You know, it wasn't murder. It wasn't, you know, all the crazy crimes, the crimes against humanity, the stuff we read about in the paper or see on the news, the things we can imagine or the things that we've known. It was eating off a tree. That's how little that sin was. In our eyes, a little sin, but in God's eyes, because of his holiness, it cost him his son. Any sin is big because we're dealing with a holy God. And I think our problem is we just don't have a grip on what that is. I mean, it's hard for us to grasp the purity, the holiness, the perfection of our God. And why is it hard to grasp? Because we are certainly not any of those things. But he is so holy. Think about it. And I don't understand this. I'm going to tell you something right now. I do not understand this statement, but I know it to be true. He is so holy that when his own son took our sin, he had to turn his back to him. Why did Jesus say, my God, why have you forsaken me? The only place in eternity that Jesus called the Father God instead of Father. It was broken. It was broken for a time. Because of our sin. That's how bad our sin is, folks. Any sin. And that's what he's reminding us here. Remember how holy I am. Remember how perfect I am. And remember that his love is perfect too. He loves with an undiluted love. Like our love is kind of skewed and his is just pure. He truly seeks our best, the best for us. He loves us that much. And God in this verse through John reminds us of this. For some reason, we seem, perhaps unconsciously, we seem to look at prayer as an attempt to get God to do something he really doesn't want to do. It's almost like we're begging him. You ever wear down your mom or dad or something, you know? I used to watch my wife do this with amazement. Because my dad, it was like you only asked him once. And like, if he said no, you did not dare ask him again. I mean, it was just like, it's worse than death. But my wife, you know, she goes, well, I'm going to go ask my dad again. I'm like, are you crazy? This was before we were married. You know, and I'm like, are you crazy? She goes, oh, yeah. I'll ask him again. I'll ask him four times. You know? I'm like, really? Totally different. You know, her upbringing and mine, I mean, it was miles apart. But, you know, sometimes, like when we ask our parents, they really don't want us to do it, but, you know, we can wear them down a little bit. And a lot of times, I think unconsciously, we kind of approach God the same way, like we're trying to get something he really doesn't want to give us or doesn't really want to do. But the truth is, God wants to do many great, marvelous things in our lives. And he's wanting us to ask. But when we ask selfishly, that's not what he's wanting. What did John the Baptist say? It's got to be more of him and less of me. He must increase, I must decrease. Isn't that where we should be, folks? He's got to increase, we got to decrease. If you want to see more effectiveness in your prayer life, you must learn to be more in step with God's will. That's where the success lies. And I love, well, whose kingdom are your prayers concerned with? That's where it starts. But I want you to look at this quote. I've got it on your sheet there. George Mueller, which a lot of times we spell it M-U-E, but he didn't spell it that way, but he had umlauts on there. I didn't have umlauts on my computer, so over the U. So it's Mueller. But look what he said. I mean, he's a great, he had an orphanage with, thousands of kids that he helped, and he would pray in food and, all this stuff. But I love this quote. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It's laying a hold of his willingness. And I love that. So many times we're begging him as if he really, we're kind of getting it out of him, so to speak. And in reality, that's not what prayer is. Prayer is, man, God is wanting to do things in our lives, in the lives of those around us, in our church, in our community. And we got to lay a hold of his willingness to do those things. That's what it is. It's getting a hold of him right where he's at. Now, listen, when you're praying, are you praying for his will to line up with yours? Or are you praying for your will to line up with his? I think a lot of times we're spending time trying to get him to endorse our plan. And instead, we ought to be praying, God, reveal your plan so I can jump on board with you. You want to have effective prayer? Get on God's train instead of him getting on yours. Then you'll have effective prayer. Salvation. There's a prayer for salvation in there. You know it's God's will that you would have a relationship with him? It is. He's not willing that any should perish, Bible tells us. That's his will. His will. And that only comes one way. It comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Maybe your prayers don't get answered. Maybe you pray and you've got this knowledge of God, maybe a knowledge of Jesus, but he's not right here. And so you pray and then you go, God is, he doesn't answer prayer because, he doesn't answer anything in my life. Well, maybe you've missed the first step, and that is you got to have a relationship with him. The people that I have a relationship with, my family, I do a lot of things for them because I have a relationship with them. And if you don't have a relationship with God, the first thing that he wants to give you is that relationship. And then we'll move on to the other stuff. But that's where it starts. There might be someone in this room today that you have never acknowledged to God that, yes, you have unrighteousness, you have sin, and that you have fallen short of his glory. You have fallen short because you are a sinner. And you deserve the worst. You deserve hell. And you know what? Everyone in this room deserves hell. We all deserve hell because we've all sinned. And that's the payment, the Bible says. That's the price of sin. You earn it. You earn your destination. But you can change that. The best answered prayer anybody in this room has ever had is when you ask God to forgive you for what you've done and you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And you know what? God answers that prayer. God answers that prayer. And He adopts you into His family and you have relationship with Him. And now that opens those other doors. Because once you enter into a relationship with God, and He'll take you places you've never been. You'll experience things you never thought possible. It's exciting, scary, and combination of all those things, and probably a lot more that I can't think of right now. But there may be some in this room that have never done that. It's very simple. You acknowledge before God that you're a sinner, that you deserve hell, and then you recognize that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. God raised Him from the dead in victory over sin and death. And you take Him as Lord and Savior. You just say, He's my Lord, He's my Savior. And you know what? You ask Him to forgive you. And He says, I forgive you, and here's my Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. And you have a relationship with the living God. For the rest of us, do you take time to discern what God wants before you pray? You know, so many times we jump right into prayer. And I'm not saying, you know, there is a place for sometimes, you know, sometimes your prayer is, help me. Something's going on and you need Him right now. But I'm talking about when you're getting alone with God, and I hope you do that. I hope you have a time when you get up in the morning or maybe before you go to bed or whatever your time is. Do you sit down for a minute and try and discern where He wants you to go with your prayer? Do you be a little patient and kind of commune with Him a little bit and allow His Spirit to work in you? And He must increase, I must decrease. I got to follow Him. He's not following me. That kind of prayer. So do you take the time to discern? And you know what? When I do that, He usually brings up something in the Bible that I'm not doing, you know, or something that I am doing that I shouldn't be doing. Brings it up. Comes in my mind. You know, when those thoughts come in your mind, where do you think that comes from? That's God communicating with you. But that thing just didn't appear, and believe me, it's not Satan putting it in your mind. He doesn't want you to fix anything. That's God reaching out to you. And then do you act on it? Do you pray about what He brought to your mind? So I guess, are you praying a kingdom prayer or a selfish prayer? That's really what it boils down to. If you have every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody here today would say, Brother Mike, I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. I've never prayed the prayer of salvation. I never asked God for forgiveness. I've never done that. Anybody like that, just slip your hand up. Just want to pray for you. Anybody like that? See, I don't see any hands this week. I hope that's true. For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I need to take some time and learn what God wants for my life? Anybody like that? I need to just take some time. Amen. God bless you. I need to take some time, find out what God thinks. Anybody else? How many would say, I need to pray more kingdom prayers? God bless you for that. God bless you. Got a lot of hands there. More kingdom prayers. Less selfish prayers, more kingdom prayers. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we come before You mindful of Your holiness, mindful of Your perfection, mindful of who You are, and hopefully, Lord, mindful of who we are. And I pray, Lord, I pray that you grab each and every one of us, Lord. Show us where we need to change. And may we all seek to move towards you and not pray prayers that are asking you to endorse us, but Lord, that we would seek your will and your face and that we would line up with you in a greater way, whether it be in our marriages or in our homes or in our church or in the community, in our jobs, whatever it may be. Lord, may we line up with you. Make it so, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your time as the music plays. This is your time to talk with God. What has he brought to your mind during this time? You talk with him right now. This is for you. Thank you for your word, even as the song Word of God speak. Lord, your word does speak to us, and we praise you and thank you for that. Lord God, I thank you for these that acknowledge they got some things on their mind, Lord. Lord, I pray you give them perception and give them discernment as to what you're trying to do in their life, Lord. And Lord, I pray they'd move towards you. Lord God, line themselves up with you. And Lord God, that you'd use them in a mighty way, that we would impact this world, this neighborhood, for the kingdom of God and for Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.